no matter what, that I'm not going to have this thing figured out, and nobody really is, or all of the major league teams would be doing the exact same training, and we wouldn't necessarily be paying players all this amount of money. It would just be a very vanilla cookie cutter thing, and you'd see 500 foot home run. So,
Coach Brandon Golden back for a 2.0. How are you doing today, sir?
Great, man. Thanks for having me.
You are super, super welcome. So he was on episode 97. Not going to go too much through his background because we already did that. That was back in March 21.
Wow.
It is now August 23. So we stayed in touch throughout the year. Super nice guy, super knowledgeable. Just giving me his time and letting me ask him anything and everything all about, you know, baseball and S&C and high level stuff. So long story short, kind of his current setup at Five Tool Connection. That's the name of your company, I guess, if that's what we want to call it.
Yeah.
Brand. LLC, yeah. I guess, doing his own thing. I'm having spent some time with the Dodgers and mostly East Carolina, Eastern East. I remember you said
East.
If you call it the other, they get kind of mad.
Yeah.
East Carolina,
no Eastern. Yeah. East Carolina.
So having spent, you know, 4 years at a legit, you know, D1 baseball program, as that was kind of your biggest stop.
Yeah.
Being there that long, you know, seeing a freshman class all the way through, what were kind of those big things of like the beginning, middle, end? Like we all know, you know, learning curve and you learn the athletes and all this stuff and the systems, but like once you're there and the athletes aren't worried about, oh, who's going to be our strength coach next year. And the coaches are like, all right, I know what to get with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what was the year, first year, year and a half, biggest thing you learned, and then those middle, like 2 years, and then those last years, like kind of reaping the fruits of your labor. So kind of beginning, middle, end of your 4 years at ECU.
Yeah, that's great, Matt. I think real quick before we go into that, Five Tool Connection was created by Eric Yavarone and Noah Huff and Mike DiCello. When I left the Dodgers, they brought me in, and you know, I got this garage behind me, and it allowed me to kind of come on board and work with them a little bit and do a lot of those cool things that you and I have been talking about. But just wanted to give credit where credit was due there. Like that's their company, and they brought me on, and it's been special.
Gotcha.
Back to the question, I think one of the biggest things was early on, you know, one of my first memories of being at East Carolina was, you know, walking on the field for practice for some things we were doing. And, you know, it was media day. Media was all over the place. We were preseason number six in the country. And, you know,
wow.
How people were telling me that this is the best year ever. And this is not, you know, the baseball staff or the players or the strength and conditioning staff, but just people in the athletic department, you know, coming up to me and saying, you know, hey, we're so glad to have you here. We're going to Omaha this year. It's so great to have you. Like, you know, we got nine seniors back. This is the
oh,
year
man.
We're with, and
no pressure.
Spot, just kind of like in their minds, roll the balls out and let the boys go play. And this will be the first time the Pirates go to Omaha. So that was one of my first memories. And I think one of my biggest memories of that also was like, hey, let me not screw this up. So like, how can I just, you know, take a step back and, you know, there's nine seniors that were on a team that went to a super regional the year before. And, you know, Texas Tech won the first game. You know, how can I just support them? And, you know, I'm coming in January. How can I not mess this up? Basically, you know, was one of the biggest things that I was thinking about. And, you know, looking back on it, was that the right thing? No, definitely not. But it's one of those things where, you know, I was young in my career and, you know, like you said, it was one of my, you know, my biggest stops. It was my biggest stop in the college side of things. And, you know, just literally didn't want to mess it up. But like being able to go back now and look at it, like there's definitely some more insight I could have given. I could have spoken up a little bit more, you know, just in general to the medical side of things, to the coaching staff, to the players themselves. I could have pushed myself in a little bit more and not been so worried about, well, hey, we've been told we're going to Omaha. So that was, you know, being a little bit naive on my part for sure, I think. And you know, just thinking, you know, the stars were going to align, kind of to, you know, some things I'm sure we'll talk about later is like, you know, things don't just necessarily always work out. Like you got to go put the hard work in, and yes, things happen for a reason. But I think with that time of my career, especially my time at East Carolina, it was, hey, this place is rolling. Let's get through this spring, and then we'll kind of put your flavor on it. And you know, probably should have put my flavor on it a little bit sooner.
But on the flip side, which I guess we'll kind of bring us to the middle, where you kind of have to earn. So although you're qualified and you had a prior experience, like with new people, you have to earn that, right? So so where is that line of like, you can't just come in guns blazing right away and be like, well, no, like this is my job to say these things, right? Like, as much as we want to say like that's not part of the game, like it is.
Oh, absolutely.
So kind of what was that transition like of it's not your first year, you're a familiar face, they're used to you, you're used to them. And let's get into kind of the middle of East Carolina.
Yeah, so I mean the middle of East Carolina coming off of that 2017 season. I mean, that was again preseason number 6 in the country, lost 10 in a row in conference, didn't make a read. Like we were bad. Like that's
what happened?
We were just bad. We were bad. We didn't play well. We didn't execute. Yeah, it was just that. And Coach Godwin, if you've ever talked to Cliff and know him, he'll tell you like that set the standard for kind of the falls and the summers and things like that moving forward. He's been quoted saying like, I'm glad we lost that year because we would have never been able to change some of the things that were going on. And we were able to put ourselves in a situation where we're going to go build off of this and kind of go forward. But I guess the getting to that point of, I mean, we were losing and we, at that point in time, we were just getting the crap beat out of us and we couldn't figure out why. So, I mean, you draw closer together as a coaching staff. I mean, back, it wasn't that long ago, but I mean, then it was, you have your head coach, your pitching coach, your assistant, and the volunteer, the medical staff, and then me. So it's a small group. It's not like it was in professional baseball where you have, you know, countless people on the player development side. Like it's a very small knit group of, hey, I'm working to try to do my end so you can feed your family and you can do things and live the lifestyle that you want. Like we all have this collective goal. So it is as unfortunate as it was to lose the way we did, it definitely made us close. And it was like, hey, I got your back, you got my back. And those are still some of my best friends in the world. And especially obviously in the game of baseball, but you know, being able to have those relationships and have those honest conversations of like, well, what could I have done better? And where do you need me to be better? And, you know, Coach Godwin's, you know, tough on his players and holds them to a high standard. But that doesn't stop with the players. Like he held me to a high standard. He held all of his assistants to a high standard. Like if you're involved with, I mean, academic coordinator, you know, she was held to a high standard. Like everybody who's involved with our program is held to a high standard even today. And that helped me elevate myself to understand, okay, what are some things that I'm really good at? Where are some blind spots that I may have? And not only like me as a professional, but me as a person, like what are some things that I'm kind of not necessarily the best at, and where can I lean on some of these other staff members to one, make me aware of it and then pick me up, you know, if and when I fall short as, you know, a human being. So I think midway through it was, all right, the relationships are there. These are my people. They're always going to be like, let's go push this thing. Let's kind of see how we can be more involved in terms of like some of the baseball side of things. So, I mean, I was at practice, I'm at, you know, BP, I'm there when guys are throwing bullpens. And I think really just like asking questions, you know, in the bullpen setting and, you know, on the mound with Coach Rozelle. And then when Deeds got there a little bit later, it was just, you know, asking them, what are they looking for? And what is it, how can I support them? I mean, you and I have talked about this before, like being a strength and conditioning coach in college athletics is very much a support staff, and just understanding that and really living by that. I mean, I was at everything. I was at every single meeting. I was at any team event. I was there. So I think that's the middle part of East Carolina was all in. Like we were at every, not that I wasn't before, I was still at everything before, but it just had a different feeling. You know what I mean? Like it was us, and anytime we got off the bus, it was us versus the world. You know, everybody's, oh, there's that mid-major East Carolina, and we had a chip on our shoulder, and we were out to prove that we weren't a mid-major, and we were one of the best teams in the country, and still are. Mm.
So, of course, there's the just not being a stranger part of, like, having those conversations year 3 versus year 1, but besides that, like, what's it like walking into that, like, exit meeting after, you know, come June with the head coach? Or what's it like sitting down with a player after they just, not that I've ever done this, but my first college start, I got 0 outs. Let's just say I was a little bit more effective out of the pen. Or is sitting down with a player and having, you know, just like a chat like that in year three kind of versus year one, beyond the obvious, like, oh, we don't have to do the pleasantries at the beginning or whatever it may be.
Right.
Like what, how's the mindset different? How's the combo different? Is it, it's not like people are going to start being like ruder or more blunt, but like you can get to the point, you know? So like those same combos, how does that kind of morph?
Yeah, I think, I mean, with Coach Godwin being kind of like being who he is, like, you know, him and I's relationship is special, and being able to understand when you're having a conversation as, you know, he was my boss at that point. And, you know, you had the head strength coach who was also your boss, which doesn't really happen a lot of times, but, you know, when I was hired, it was kind of like a joint decision, and, you know, Coach Godwin got like the main aspect of things. So it's like, I was his guy. So like, I needed to understand that and then understand, okay, he's saying something and he's giving me critical feedback, but that doesn't mean that I'm less than, or he's, you know, upset at me. It's just like, hey, in order for us to do what we set out to do. And I think that's the main thing, is like keeping the goal in mind and keeping the thought process of like, what are we trying to do? Well, we're trying to make it to the College World Series, and East Carolina has been to the NCAA tournament more than anybody in the country without making it to Omaha. So we're trying to do something that we've never done before. So yes, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of like, the stakes are high, and that's good. And we didn't, neither one of us and anybody in that program would hide from that, nor do they to this day. So I think understanding that and understanding where it's coming from, not that it's, oh, well, he doesn't like me because he said I need to, you know, hold so-and-so more accountable, or what, we need so-and-so to get stronger. Like, it's, that's not where it was coming from. It was like, hey man, we're trying to go play in Omaha, and we all need to be firing at the highest level possible. So it was good. I mean, it was like I said, he challenged me and he pushed me to be better, but he also empowered me. You know, he sent me to the TPI to get certified in some of those.
It's not like, cheap.
No. And he, you know, used his own money. Like he pushed me and empowered me. So I think that's, you know, a lot of, you know, kudos to him as a leader. Like, whenever you can let the reins go and you feel the reins get let go, like you said, like, you know, after that first year, after I've been around a little bit, we developed that relationship. It's like, hey, I can go do something, and I don't have to ask permission. Like, he knows I'm here for him, and, you know, the whole staff does. So I think that's probably the biggest thing, is just being able to, you know, understand where thought processes are coming from. And then you can communicate, like, to your point about like talking with players, like you can explain that to them. Like, they don't always understand, especially at that, you know, at that age. And, you know, a lot of them have been the best player everywhere they've been, but understanding like, well, why is coach getting upset? It's like, well, because you can be this player that we believe you can be, a top five round pick coming out of this place. So like, let's realize that and go after it. So yeah, I mean, I'm kind of getting long winded there, but yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah.
So last, kind of wrapping up, as you kind of alluded to, so of course, when there's new spots, there's new athletes or sports or styles or whatever. So of course, when you have the endorsement, literally, figuratively, monetarily, to go do those things, how did you find yourself continually growing and progressing? Because it's easy to be like, oh, well, I have my system, and, you know, guys don't get hurt, and guys jump faster, throw harder, or jump higher, run faster, throw harder.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, is it like, how do you continually grow when you've been at a spot for relatively a long time?
Yeah, that's a good question. And for me personally, it's a lot different than most people. I mean, you know, like yourself, like you played college baseball. Like I didn't play college baseball. So like, I needed to continually try to understand the game more and be around it more. And, you know, that's a known thing. Like I will never say, people all the time, like, oh, did you play at East Carolina? I'm like, no, I went to undergrad at East Carolina. Like, I did not play there. Like, but I've been around, you know, great, great people and unbelievable minds in this game that have taught me a lot. And I think that's where a lot of my, I guess, ability to continue to push myself and learn is, like, I always have that in the back of my mind that I don't have the luxury to just sit. Not that a lot of people do, but like, some people can have the luxury to be like, oh, I played 10 years in the big leagues. Like, I know how to teach somebody how to pitch, or I know how to relate this. Like, I don't have that luxury. So, like, knowledge and asking questions is the way that I've tried to, you know, borrow some other people's experience and just really learn that. So I think for me, just being open and realizing no matter what, that I'm not going to have this thing figured out, and nobody really is, or all of the major league teams would be doing the exact same training and we wouldn't necessarily be paying players all this amount of money. It would just be a very vanilla cookie cutter thing and you'd see 500 foot home run. So yeah, I think just understanding that the human body is such a intricate and unknown being that everybody's still trying to figure this thing out. And there's a lot of, you know, research and people dedicate their whole lives to this. So it's like, who am I to think just because I've been successful and, you know, been around, you know, some good, obviously some great players, even better coaches and things like that. Like, you put all those things together, like, you know, I consider myself lucky to have had the folks in my career and in my life more than my career, you know, that I have. So I think just being humble and understanding it's not all me. It's a lot of them, and a lot of it I've just happened to be there for the ride.
I think it is weird, like how much, like obviously there's the physical qualities that go into baseball, and there's the untangible things of being able to like sit down with a guy and that like unbiased opinion, not controlling playing time of like, no, dude, you can be legit. You know, like those things add up positively as well. But it's like, how much credit does like the performance coach really get, you know, or not get? Like they're the first to get canned, but relatively speaking, probably one of the lower which is a conversation for a different podcast. That's not the point, but yeah. And how long we've been doing this. And like, I didn't throw a plyo curveball until my senior year of college. Right. So like baseball has changed a lot for sure. Probably the most relatively speaking of any sport, maybe because I'm not.
Yeah, for sure.
But now, so your current setup is a product of your time with the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. But first, can you kind of describe your day-to-day, week-to-week, and kind of what your current setup is? And then we'll kind of reflect back from this current spot.
Yeah, so right now, you know, I'm training, you know, 12-year-olds all the way up to guys that are, you know, I train guys on my own. That are, you know, in professional baseball and things like that. So being able to have that wide variety of and understand like where they're at in their development process and where they're at and their just process in life in general as human beings. And so right now, with it being summertime, like I have a lot of high school kids that are training here, some college kids that are here doing some stuff remotely at times with other players, but really being able to push forward and kind of get them to understand where they're at in their process and kind of letting it be their own idea, if that makes sense. So it's like, okay, what, like Matt, like, what are you trying to work on? Well, I need to get more, you know, T-spine separation so my arm can come through and, you know, I can have a little bit more late life at, you know, at the end of my fastball or whatever the case may be. And saying, okay, well, and then tying that into maybe some of the movement quality stuff, or, you know, if it's a hitter and, well, I really want to be able to hit the ball backside out. Like, okay, well, you can't rotate, you're just spinning. So maybe let's work on rotating your pelvis and being very deliberate about, okay, hey, these three things that I have you doing in your warm-up, like that's going to help you do the things that you want to do. You might not realize that, but like this is the roadmap and the pathway to get to the ultimate end result, which everybody is looking for.
What do you think of the private side so far?
It's different, man. From a family standpoint, it's been nice. It's been nice. Being in professional baseball was hard on my family and I, and just being more my family than me. I loved it. It was unbelievable, but it wasn't. I didn't do a good job of managing that, and you know, it's been unbelievable for us. And we've been able to have, you know, I'm here every morning. I'm here every afternoon. I'm here all day. Like I get to do stuff, and then we're consulting with colleges. Like we're going in with Wake and Fullerton and High Point and Appalachian State, and you know, we're just doing a lot of really cool things. And I get my boys are, my oldest one will be 6 and at the end of this month, and my youngest is 3. So you know, being able to be there for them is during this time of their lives is invaluable, and it's been a huge blessing for us. I miss the game. I miss being in the dugout. I miss winning. I miss being a part of that. Like I was saying earlier, us against the world mentality when we step off the bus. Like, we know we're coming, and like, I miss those type of things. But you can't get this time back with your family, and it's been very special.
For sure. So with most things, if I want to make a cringy training analogy, you know, you're like, all right, well, I have seniors. Well, what do I want them to do as juniors, sophomores, freshmen? All right, I have 16-week off season. Well, what do I want then? Work backwards from there. So we can periodize life, I guess, as I'm still gonna roll my eyes for saying that. But it's like, what life would I want? How would I want my day-to-day, week-to-week to look like? You know, if family's a big thing and more flexibility of the private side, or I like coaching athletes, I like traveling, I like the ebb and flow of, you know, like an academic calendar, or just, you know, sports have in season, off season, et cetera, versus the private side is you kind of just go all year, versus if you just have like one sport, even in the private side. So I think it would be interesting to have a setup kind of like yours, where it's like, you know, busy season, off season baseball, you got your in season, but then consequently you get to coaches, travel, and do stuff like that. So kind of getting a setup like you have now. Of course, there's the everything works out how it should, which is true. And, you know, at that point in time, like East Carolina made the most sense. The Dodgers made the most sense, right? But if you could look back and say, oh, well, maybe if I had tried to get a consulting gig or two, or maybe if I was a little bit better at public speaking, or if I networked more. So, like, are there any things that having your setup now, you think that you could have done a little bit different back then to help set you up for this now? Does that make sense?
No, yeah, it makes perfect sense. I don't know if there is because of kind of how everything has transpired and all the relationships that I've made in my time in college baseball and, until now. I mean, if you look at, we're working with Wake Forest because Corey Mascara is one of my best friends, and we're working with High Point University because I train Joey Hammond's sons here at my house. Like, and we're working with that because, Kermit was talked to about us from Coach Walter, and working with Cal State Fullerton because Jason Dietrich's one of my best friends, and he was a pitching coach at East Carolina. And you know what I mean? So like, we're able to get into some of these things because kind of how it's worked out. I think now from a practitioner side, I think there could definitely be some things that I could have learned early on, like from a movement standpoint and understanding what is actual rotation, and could have definitely understood more of the baseball side of things from an earlier on, especially when I was at East Carolina. I mean, I know the Dodgers a lot. I learned a lot from them, and that whole staff over there is unbelievable. And they really challenged me and pushed me, and it was uncomfortable at times, but it was great. And I challenged them and pushed them right back in a very fulfilling way. I think for me personally, it was just being able to ask questions and being able to for them to empower me again. They let me run instructs 1 year for the movement camp is what we called it, and it was awesome. I mean, some of those, probably three or four of those guys are in the big leagues right now, and it was not that long ago. So I think the way that it went is the way it was supposed to go. But I guess on like how could I have made this happen a little bit sooner is probably understanding the business side a little bit more and understanding how to set some of those things up. I think, like I said earlier, like the middle time of being at East Carolina, I was engulfed with going to Omaha. That was what I thought about when I woke up in the morning, and what I thought about when I went to bed, and when we're training. Like, there wasn't really, hey, well, maybe I could, talk to these teams, or I could look into this, or I could help out on the pro side, or to work with whoever. Like, that wasn't really a thought process at that time. It was, all right, let's go to the College World Series and everything will kind of fall in line. So, yeah.
Yeah, everything's relative, of course, you know. But interesting to like have a different lens or pair of glasses, you know, at this spot, knowing what this spot's like. But did you get to work with Kyle Garlick? Does
No.
the name sound familiar? I want to say he's with the Twins now. He was like the fourth outfielder for the Dodgers for a minute, and I was watching the Dodgers game. And I saw his name on his jersey, and there's not too many guys last name Garlic, CK at the end. And it said like Kyle Garlic, like as he was batting. And I faced him in the D2 World Series.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we see how both our careers finished, I guess, or I guess he's still playing. So, yeah, he played like 3 years at Oregon and then like transferred. It was weird, but I got a rollover maybe because I topped out at 81. But hey, a rollover is a rollover.
Doesn't matter. End result.
So with this like current spot, if you could compare and contrast the biggest pro and con, not to talk trash, but like not every job's perfect,
right,
of like a legit D1 baseball program, pros, and then now kind of doing your own thing.
Yeah. I think the pros on both like team settings is you're a part of something bigger than yourself. And that's probably what I miss the most about it is understanding and living that, yes, we all have our things that we're going to deal with outside of, you know, the clubhouse and the locker room and the weight room in the field, but when you step into that facility, like it's all about how can we make this organization or this team better and how can we impact people that we're around every day on a positive, in a positive way. And, you know, I get to do that here, but I don't ever leave here. You know what I mean? Like I'm at my house all the time and, you know, there'll be times where it's been like a day or two and I'm like, oh, I'll just run down to the gas station because I haven't left in, you know, 30
yeah.
hours. I think, you know, that's a big positive to the team side of things. One con is you're not in control of your schedule whatsoever. So I'm in complete control of my schedule now. And if my wife and I and my boys, we want to go to our place at the beach, we can do that. I can just send out a message and say, hey, I'm closed for the week. I'm going to go to the beach. That's not the case in the team side of things. And you know, that's just kind of the reality of the situation. Like you're on, like you said, you're on all the time. And one of the things that I guess I would say is a downfall to certain college athletic programs is it's not always your show. There's been times where, you know, it's the head coach's team and, you know, you're going to do what they want to do because that's the deal and it's their team and rightfully so. They're the ones making the big money, sitting in the big chair, and they're the one that has to answer those wins and losses. And, you know, we're just kind of training people and supporting them. But, you know, from the pro side of things, it's not all like professional baseball, especially in the minor leagues, is not what it's made out to be. It's tough. And, you know, I was lucky that, you know, I was at the complex for my time and was getting ready to go to AA. And, you know, my wife and I decided to get out, but, you know, traveling around and being on those buses and doing all those things is definitely not easy. And seeing those guys that have done that, it's tough. I mean, there's guys with families that are, you know, on 12 to 13 hour bus rides and they don't see their families for a long time. So it's a definite big commitment that the entire family has to make. So I guess long story short is it just kind of depends on where you're at as a person in your professional life your personal life with, you know, do you have a family? Do you have a significant other? What are your goals? And, you know, it really just depends organization to organization.
So next, I guess I'll pivot again. With the consulting side, as I've consulted for some college programs and I've reached out to, you know, people on staffs and hopped on the phone and me being more in the speed space,
yeah,
you know, it's like you're doing good speed stuff, just talking through what you got going on. So Wake Forest, I don't follow college baseball too closely. And I know it's bounced around number one from like Tennessee to Wake Forest to like LSU. But Wake Forest has been up there for multiple years.
Yeah.
So obviously they're doing a lot of things right. So where does an outside person like yourself come in to add value when obviously they're like 95%+ of the way there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it comes down to relationships. You know, like I said, Corey Mascara is, you know, a great friend of mine. And me living, you know, 35 minutes away from their complex there, you know, he asked me to come in and, you know, look at a player and kind of see what's going on. And, you know, the next thing we know, we're 5-Tool Connection is working with Wake Forest, and that's the first college program we have. So being able the way that, you know, myself, Eric, Noah looks at movement is a little bit different than I would say a large majority of people in the performance world. Like, yes, bigger, faster, stronger, more explosive. We love that. That's awesome. That's great. But from the movement quality side of things, if that's not taken care of and that's not done efficiently and properly, and we just, Eric and I were just on the horn with Corey, kind of doing some things, and that's kind of what he was getting at, was like, hey, this is great. We have this lab. We have some of the best players in the country. We have, you know, awesome strength and conditioning coach, awesome, you know, athletic trainer, great coaches, clearly. But they were still missing something, and it was something, you know, as simple as stability in the ankle for certain guys, or can the pelvis do what it needs to do within the time that it needs to happen. So adding that value, and one, Corey being open enough and humble enough to say like, hey, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and I'm perfectly okay with that. My job is to, and this is almost word for word what he said a minute ago, was, you know, my job is to develop these players and to put them in, you know, the best situation possible to be successful at Wake Forest, and then, you know, throughout the rest of their career. So that's kind of where it comes from, is him being humble enough, and the rest of the staff and Coach Walter obviously bringing us in and trusting us to come in and, you know, empower their program to be what it can. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, very cool. And I guess with the example of like being 95%+ of the way there, you know, like probably one ankle stability falls in that like last 1 or 2 or 3%. So
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, especially when you're looking at something like, you know, it was like, well, why can't a guy do this? It's like, well, he physically can't do it. So if he can't physically do it, then you can coach him until you're blue in the face and, you know, tell him whatever cue you want, but it's not going to happen. So that's a lot of where we've seen results there. And then the buy-in from them is off the charts.
So how would you describe, so I guess we'll get a little baseball specific so you can kind of plug what you got going on. But as you referenced, like viewing movement in kind of a different way, how would you describe like traditional thought versus like what's your unique spin or lens, as we each have our own like kind of biases and stuff. So what's like the pair of glasses that you wear, get to describe it versus a regular person, and what makes you kind of your product?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. And I'll kind of explain it from, you know, my time when I was at East Carolina to where I'm at now is, you know, my early time at East Carolina, my thought was, and I didn't really realize this was my thought until after being there, but, you know, it's like, all right, if my guys are squatting heavy, pressing well, pulling, like doing all of the very basic things in the weight room at a very high level, then I had done my job. But, you know, I can't remember. I wish I knew who said this earlier so I could give credit, but I heard something recently of, you know, it's not necessarily that we're a performance coach and that's all we need to worry about. Like at the end of the day, like we're trying to get that athlete better at whatever sport they're playing. Like no one goes to East Carolina or Oregon or any other Wake Forest, any other school to play weightlifting. They're not giving out scholarships. Now some schools have powerlifting and that's a completely different story. And that's awesome. And that's outstanding. But like the majority of these people are going to play baseball, football, basketball, whatever the case may be. So if what we're doing in the weight room is not making them a better player, then it's probably making them worse because of, if you look at, you know, when kids get there, when guys get there in the summer, you got them for 4 to 5 weeks and they go home for 2 to 3 and they come back and it's, you know, it's August and it's go time and they have really maybe a month before fall practice starts and then fall practice and you're training through that and they're trying to learn button defenses and, you know, pick off plays and all this different things while you're still trying to train them. And I think people in general, and me, and I'll talk about myself, is I missed out on a lot of those things. And there's a lot of skill acquisition that goes into everything. And the skill acquisition side of things is so missed on. Like a squat is a skill. A lunge is a skill. A press is a skill. And if you're trying to, the body only has, or the brain only has so much neurological capacity to uptake those skills and then spit them back out, especially from a proficiency standpoint, to where if we're overloading, we're going to miss out. And that's, looking back on it, those are some of the things that I would do a little bit differently, is just keep it a lot more general and then tie the specificity of whatever the movement is on the back end and make that connection for the player and have them, you know, see it and kind of make it their own a lot earlier.
Super, so, cool. Yeah. Makes sense to me. So, doing your own thing now. If you ever want to make a podcast, let me know. I might know a guy, or talk social media and now branding and stuff. But Where can people get more of Coach B Golden?
Yeah, just that, at Coach B Golden on Instagram and Twitter, and yeah, some exciting stuff that I haven't really talked about a whole lot is I'm partnering with this guy named Pat Droney out of New Jersey. Great guy. He runs East Coast Ghost, so we're gonna have a Carolina Ghost. It's gonna be a travel ball organization to where we're going to partner with him, and I'm gonna handle a lot of the travel balls, or excuse me, a lot of the performance side of things. And down here in North Carolina, I'm going to have former players of mine run the baseball side of things. You know, like
Wow.
I talked about, like, didn't play baseball at a high level, played when I was a little kid. So I'll have guys that played for me at East Carolina, different schools, and, you know, in pro ball as well, that are going to kind of come in and help run this. So that's one exciting thing. So we'll see how that takes off. But we're going to do several showcases around the state this fall, and then have some teams coming up in 24. So it should be interesting.
Fantastic. Exciting times in the baseball space in North Carolina. So
yeah.
I want to say thank you very much for your time, for connecting again, and for all of the combos we have not recorded, which I've enjoyed the most. Well, I guess there can't pick my favorite child, but I definitely can. But anyways, this has been awesome. I'm excited to share this with everyone else. And thank you again.
Awesome, Matt. Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. It's been great.